You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. WPTF Talk Radio, we are disrupting aging one show at a time. All our episodes are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina, and we have a great show for you today, folks. Mark Hensley, Associate State Director of AARP North Carolina's Triad Region, is back with us to talk about the AARP Community Challenge Grant. What it is, what amazing projects have been funded here in North Carolina over the past years, and how your organization or community can get involved and what you need to know about this year's application process. But as first, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I am joined here in the studio by my partner in crime, esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how are you, my friend? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Mike. I feel like we haven't been in the same room in a while, but I feel like that's just in my head because you're growing a beard. And to me, I think it's just a visual thing where I feel like I haven't seen you in a while.
That's right. I have to say, I started growing the beard last time I saw you, Jason. I was like, we're going to measure this in hair length on my face. No, just kidding. No, it's been going a little bit. I don't know what it is. You know what it might be is I am. I'm within my last 6 weeks in my 40s, Jason. I turned 50 towards the end of February. Really excited about that. I'm embracing my grays. This got a little bit more gray in the beard than the last time I grew it. But anyway, yeah, it's great to see you. You look a little bit different this year. Your haircut and looking nice and tight for the beginning of the year.
You know, trying to keep things nice and, you know, make sure that we're heading clean into the new year.
That's right. Well, it's a time for new beginnings, and I know usually people are talking about New Year's resolutions and what they're going to do differently this year versus last year. And we're not going to get into that. We've talked about that plenty of time before, though. But things are just new on our end here to begin with, Jason. We're in a bit of a new format here with AARP Without Limits. Unfortunately, we're not quite on the airwaves being broadcasted by the 50,000-watt signal here at WPTF, but we are on our podcast is still remaining on your platform and wherever folks get their podcasts. And that does give us a little bit more flexibility than we had before. We're not quite so rigid with our schedule, which is nice. So looking forward, Jason, to seeing you over there, just in a little bit slightly more relaxed state, not having to keep me quite on time like you have in the past. So new year, real excited about it. Great to have Mark back on the program today. Before we get to him, though, Jason, I have to say, you know, there's a lot I'm looking forward to this year. You know, for our state, we're already, you know, beginning the year on a new note in a lot of ways. We have newly elected representatives now. Congress looks different, right? Our congressional delegation looks quite different now with some new members. We have a new governor. Right, Governor Stein. We have a new Attorney General, Jeff Jackson, and several others who are in the Council of State. We have new members to our state legislature, including new leadership. And I'm excited that we're going to have the opportunity this year, Jason, to have them on the show. We've got invites out to a number of these folks I just mentioned, and just a matter of confirming some dates. So that should be exciting to see what's on their agenda, what they hope to accomplish for the good people of North Carolina. And we get an opportunity also to see where they stand and what they plan on doing on issues that are most important to people who are 50 and older. And just a quick word on that, Jason, just so folks know, some of the things that are top of mind for AARP as far as possible opportunities go. You know, with the new Congress and the expiring tax cuts, we know that tax policy is a major priority for the new administration, the Trump administration, and for the new Congress. AARP certainly is going to be weighing in on that. We want to make sure that certain provisions are strengthened, and including support for caregivers. And this is a big priority, actually, over the course of the next month, where we're you know, really trying to make the case for informal caregiving here in North Carolina. You know, I didn't know if you know this, Jason, or listening audience does, but every year the cost of the services that are provided by informal caregivers, that means people who you know, family members who are taking care of a loved one, is over $16 billion here in North Carolina. That's insane. And for many of those people, they've got to cut back on work. They're going out of pocket. Sometimes they're taking care of somebody who's not a family member, who doesn't live with them. So travel's an issue. They're having to, you know, really readjust their schedule to help the person make appointments or to provide other types of services. And they need a little bit of help, you know, a little bit of financial help. And there are only certain, you know, only so much that you can do, especially in this hyper-partisan environment. But fortunately, tax credits is something that both sides of the aisle seem to appreciate. So that's something we're looking at with a caregiving credit. And then also in the state, we're looking, you know, at a number of initiatives to help people get health care where they need, even if they're out in the more rural corners of the state where services are a bit more difficult to come by. And then, of course, there is the Helene recovery. And, you know, we're hearing, as y'all are, you know, different things in terms of people getting federal help and state help and how that's all working. And it is good to see that the Stein administration is taking it on seriously. I think it was his first day in the office where he actually went out west, which was good to see. So we want to make sure that as that part of the state is rebuilt, that they are making sure that they're not forgetting about older adults. And, you know, if you're going to rebuild it, let's rebuild it to last. Let's remember that this year, 2025, is the first full year in North Carolina where there are more older adults than there are school children. And, you know, children under the age of 18, which is a remarkable demographic development over the years. We've been knowing it's been coming, and it is finally here. And so we need to make sure that that as the state is being rebuilt from post Helene, that we're building smart, we're building for the future, and we're building for everybody, for people of all ages and abilities. And it's for that reason, Jason, I'm really, really happy to have back on the show Mark Hensley. Mark Hensley not only does a wonderful job of leading AARP's work in the Triad region of North Carolina, but he's also our staff state lead on our livable communities work, including North Carolina's piece of the national AARP's Community Challenge Grant Initiative, which has been around for a number of years now, and fortunately has been getting more and more generous, helping to fund community projects of organizations and of local governments and other entities that are looking to make life better, more enjoyable, more functional for people of all ages and abilities throughout the state. And the application process, this is something new for this year, is much earlier in the year than in previous years. And so it's my delight to introduce back to the program our friend Mark Hensley. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for having me on your show. You know, I was your first hire once you became a manager, so I always have to show up with my best.
Well, you always happen to do that, Mark, just by chance. I just happen to know how to pick them. Welcome back to the show, Mark. And as we mentioned here, the AARP Community Challenge Grant is something I'm going to start with because the application period is now open very early in the year. And AARP is now accepting applications for that grant. But let's take a step back, Mark. Let's get to some of the basics. For those who don't know what we're talking about, what is the AARP Community Challenge Grant, and why are we publicizing it? Why is this important for our listening audience?
Mike, that's a great question. The AARP Challenge Grant Program has been funding local projects in state since 2017. The AARP Challenge Grants is an annual significant investment made by AARP into communities to create positive change for the 50 plus. So to give you a perspective, since 2017, AARP has invested over $20 million towards 1,700 small projects across all 50 states. That includes DC and our territories in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And the type of projects are really three things. One is permanent physical improvements. So think about things you can see. Number two are temporary demonstrations that lead to long-term change. So think about a temporary parklet or some temporary way to slow traffic down to improve pedestrian safety. And then the third is new innovative programs. It can be a pilot or it can even be a service.
It's a wide range of opportunities there, Mark. Can you tell some folks, just to help color in the lines a little bit here, what have been some of the projects that have been funded here in North Carolina in recent years that stand out to you?
So, Mike, I'm glad you asked that. In the December issue of the AARP Bulletin, which I'll mention is the most widely read print publication in the United States, had an article highlighting some of those most notable programs awarded in North Carolina last year. First of all is Jones County. We know Jones County is eastern North Carolina. It's rural. They were awarded $11,000. Keep in mind, there's no match for this, so this is a gift to help the residents of Trenton, which is in Johnston County, gain digital literacy skills and access to technologies, breaking down that digital divide. Number two is the city of Salisbury. Here in the Piedmont, they received over $2,000 to expand bike parking at Rowan Helping Ministries, which serves individuals experiencing displacement. Third is the city of Hendersonville up in western North Carolina. They got a $15,000 grant to support bikeability. That's new bike racks. That's a bike repair station. That's specific shared lane marking. So we're talking about working with DOT. And that's a downtown project. And lastly, here in the Piedmont, in the Triad, a High Point got a small grant to do walk audits and really using volunteers to find out why the highest rates of food insecurity exist in High Point. Are there ways we can improve access to food through walkability?
That's a great selection there, Mark, a nice range of different types of things. For those who are listening now, who are maybe part of an organization or affiliated with an organization that they think might be interested in this, they're probably wondering about the, are they eligible? What types of organizations should consider applying?
Sure. So any government entity, local or local or county or state agencies. The second type is any type of nonprofit. So that can be a 501c3, 501c4, and so on, but a designated nonprofit organization recognized by the Internal Revenue Service. And then other types of organizations like coalitions or trade associations would be considered on a case-by-case basis. Now, the funds are not provided to any for-profit company or to an individual. However, AARP does allow for IRS recognized tax-exempt organizations or government entities to serve as the fiscal sponsor of some grants. So think about a unique private-public partnership in community.
Well said. A wide range, once again, of different possible organizations who should considering applying for this grant. We're going to take a quick break here, folks. When we return, we're going to talk to Mark a little bit more about the AARP Community Challenge Grant, the application process in particular, as well as other types of things related to livable communities here in North Carolina. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, or a recommendation for a future guest or topic, please feel free to send us an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Mark Hensley. He's the Associate State Director for AARP North Carolina in the Triad region. He is also our state lead on livable communities here in North Carolina. Mark, we've been talking about the Community Challenge Grant and how the application window is now open. I want to talk to you a little bit about the application process. What's it like? What kinds of resources are available to help answer questions for organizations when applying?
Yeah, short answer is simply do an internet search on the word AARP Challenge Grants 2025. There is an entire website dedicated to walking potential applicants through the process. There's a timeline listed there, and something that stands out to me is on January the 29th, so only a couple of weeks away, there is a question-answer webinar for potential applicants. This is open to the public on January the 29th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. You can sign up there to watch that live, or you will be sent a recording if you can't make it. Great information, walks you through the whole process. The deadline for applying is by 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on March the 5th, 2025. So we got a few months now for folks to start putting together their application.
Excellent. I have to say, I've seen those webinars before in the past, and they are really, really helpful because they're able to do Q&A and answer those questions that people have, and everybody learns from them. And it's great that it's available after the fact, too. If you miss it, you can just listen in and get the information that you need. Mark, once an organization is approved, an application is approved, what's the process and the timeline like for when organizations receive the funding? And by when do the projects have to be completed?
Yep. So mid-May, we will have the selections made of those applicants, and they will be notified by email. By June the 11th, that is the deadline for selecting applicants to complete their paperwork back to us. So there's a little bit of contractual obligation, memorandum of understanding that has to be completed. And then this is announced publicly on June the 25th to the public that these funds have been provided to an organization. And then keep in mind, this is short turnaround. So they need to complete everything by mid-December before the holidays and get us an after-action report by the close of the end of the year. So these are quick turnarounds with deadlines that are laid out, but the national office is great to work with people. We know weather can impact things, personnel changes. So if they need a little bit of wiggle room, they are more than happy to work with them.
Excellent. And I'm expecting that we will, or should I say, I hope to be expecting a good number of applications coming from the western part of the state, which of course was impacted heavily by Hurricane Helene. Lots of opportunities there. And I should also mention, should have mentioned this earlier, actually, big news. You know, AARP Foundation did raise money and did donate to a select handful of community-based organizations in the Western region, $500,000 to assist with Helene recovery. And so the Community Challenge Grant coming so soon after here in the beginning of the year, the timing could not be better. Mark, the Community Challenge Grant, of course, is part of AARP's national effort to help make communities become more livable for people of all ages and abilities. But here in North Carolina, there's a lot going on already outside of that, including All Ages, All Stages NC, which we've spoken a lot about here on the show. But for those who don't know, Mark, can you tell them what is All Ages, All Stages, and what's the status of that plan?
Mike, that's a great question. So the ink literally just dried on the 10-year multi-sector aging plan that was presented to Governor Cooper on his way out as his term ended. We are one of 10 states who receive funding for the Division of Aging. That's a North Carolina state office to lead a work group which serves as a committee to bring about a what we call a master plan on aging. In North Carolina, we're calling it multi-sector plan. And that's really in response to North Carolina becoming the 10th age-friendly state with AARP designation in May of 2023. So this is not just about Health and Human Services, but it reaches out through all branches of the governor's cabinet. That includes transportation, public safety, and the Department of Commerce, for example. More information on All Ages, All Stages North Carolina can be found at a website. Again, just do a simple search on those words, All Ages, All Stages NC, and you'll see this. But let me break it down into just four basic areas. One is affording aging. You know, people are living longer than ever before, but they're starting to be concerned, are they going to outlive the resources they've saved? Number two is optimizing health and well-being. I think that's something we can all understand. Number three is strengthening communities for a lifetime, and that really gets into our age-friendly or livable communities work, and that's really for all ages. You hear terms like 880 cities. What's good for an 8-year-old is great for an 80-year-old. And then that last area is supporting older adults and their families. We are now creating implementation groups that will begin to identify short-term goals. They will explore long-term goals and also develop legislative priorities. And while all this is going on the ground, we actually have 22 cities and towns and communities that are emerging age-friendly communities. So that ranges from Mecklenburg County all the way to a small place like Wake Forest, North Carolina, north of the Triangle. These folks are working to make improvements that are age-friendly for all of their residents, regardless of their age.
Excellent summary there, Mark. I appreciate that. Mark, last question I've got for you today. In addition to leading our AARP North Carolina's work on livable communities, you lead AARP's work in general in the Triad region, and you just finished up a very strong year there. What are some of the highlights from 2024 that you'd like to share, and what do you and your team have planned for this year?
Yeah, so if you haven't heard of the John Coltrane International Jazz and Blues Festival, that's a big deal here in the Triad. And sometimes it comes with a little lightning and thunder because it is Labor Day weekend. We always have a presence there, but we worked with the festival to then bring the power of music into community. So we had three community concerts around the holidays. We were at some retirement facilities for folks that couldn't come to that concert. And then we had our biggest one with over 500 attendees at World of Life Tabernacle in High Point. We had Kirk Wallum is a international jazz player, and he was joined by One Accord, which won America's Got Talent. And this event was not only done live, but then we recorded it, cleaned it up, and we did a broadcast on December the 20th nationwide with over 1,800 attendees. That's both AARP members and non-members alike, to really spread not just the holiday spirit, but also showcase the power of brain health, the power of music and memory, and the power of connection. Connecting music is really not just good for your spirit, it's good for your brain. What we're looking for in 2025 is Social Security is a top priority for AARP, and our team of dedicated volunteers have put together what they call socials for Social Security. So think about bringing the younger person in who's maybe, you know, in their late 50s that may not be thinking about Social Security, but as they near retirement, it is our job to have them in an environment where they're comfortable and have our volunteers talk about the eligibility for Social Security, the need to plan ahead, but also the need for them to be self-advocates and really pay attention to Congress's action to make sure that Social Security is the promise made to America that never goes away. So stay tuned for some fun things as well as educational programs here in the Triad and across the state as we strive to support people 50 and older and their families.
Wonderful, Mark. I will have to say you and your volunteer network there have always done a really remarkable job of showing up where you need to be showing up and working on issues that are important to older adults. If not now, then in the future, that Social Security topic in particular, socials for Social Security. Wonderful idea, being able to engage people in their 50s and younger to start thinking about this stuff now. Appreciate all that you do, Mark. And just as folks may know, probably don't know, you know, AARP North Carolina does a lot of activities all throughout the state. This past year, we had 475 activities and events all throughout North Carolina. every single one of them free of charge, open to anybody. This does not include AARP, driver safety, or tax aid. This is all just activities that we manage through our staff like Mark throughout the state. And really, really proud of that great work. And of course, none of it would be possible without our volunteers. Mark, thanks so much for being with us. Going to have you back on the program again. Give our best to your volunteers out there in the wonderful Triad region. Would you please?
Will do. Thank you, Mike. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. That is a wrap, folks. Please, once again, feel free to send us an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. I want to thank Mark Hensley for being our guest. Thank you to Jason Kong for production. And thank you, of course, for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. We'll catch you next time.